Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
And hello and welcome to another Tech Talk. Yes, it's me, Stephen Scott, back with you. Robin Christofferson's there somewhere. Hello, Robin.
Hello, it's me from AbilityNet as always. Oh, and by the way, before I forget, Jenny Leigh Fleury, CAO, Chief Accessibility Officer of Microsoft, is going to be going out live, being interviewed by me at exactly the same time as people may be listening to this on Tuesday, the 21st at 1 p.m. But you can catch it in, you know, after the event on our website. So can I plug that? Is that all right?
I think you just did.
No, abilitynet.org.uk/insights-Microsoft, or just, you know, search for Insights AbilityNet, because that's a new series of kind of fireside chats that we're doing, accessibility insights, and yeah, catch up with what Microsoft and Jenny are talking about at your leisure, because you can't listen to it live.
You are so excitable about this. It is unbelievable. I mean, jumping right in there, didn't even get a chance to say hello to Andy, who's here as well.
Sorry.
Hi, Andy.
Hello. Jenny will be chatting to me on Monday.
Well, I think I'm talking to her on Tuesday. Definitely.
Down the chip shop.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. No, listen, that's great. And it is a brilliant conversation. I'm looking forward to hearing it. Of course, I'm going to be listening to Tech Talk because we're on it.
I had to get that in there because my memory is just so bad that, I would have forgotten otherwise.
That you couldn't even wait for Andy to say hello. That's how bad your memory is. That's shocking.
Yeah.
That's terrible. Look, we're going to talk about Braille quite a bit this episode. Actually, lots of talk about Braille. Coming up in a moment, we're going to be introducing Karina Gregory, who is a regular voice to the show. You may have heard her before. She is popping on to tell us all about the Mantis Q40, the new Braille display that's launched from HumanWare. Launched at the National Federation of the Blind conference last week. So really looking forward to hearing about that and her thoughts on it as well. It's not arrived in the UK yet, although, guys, I did get a chance to have a play with it. Mm-hmm. And I have got to tell you, it is nice. It is a nice piece of kit for Braille displays in 2020. They, you know, overall, they have not moved on much since, I don't know, the dawn of time when dinosaurs used them. But this one's, you know, it's moving on a little bit. The main difference being it's got a QWERTY keyboard. So it doesn't have the standard 8 keys that you would have for Braille. So the 6 Perkins-style keys with the 2 additionals. You don't have that with this. This has got a QWERTY keyboard. So, you know, ideal for pairing up with your PC or your Mac or even your iPhone or Android. We're going to talk a bit about that with Karina Gregory, get her views on it. She's a long-time Braille user. Is this something she'll want to buy? Is it something you'd be interested in? Well, we'll hear. No point asking
either of us.
Either of you, really. But yeah, but certainly not Robin, because he doesn't.
Yeah, Andy, come on. Why aren't you?
I know, come on. Well, I'll tell you something. I bet if Andy did do Braille, at least he'd stick to it.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, I'm doubly shamed today because we've got another brilliant Braille-related item today as well, haven't we?
We do. David Woodbridge, of course, regular contributor here and, of course, host of the IC podcast and appears on the Talking Tech podcast from Vision Australia as well. David Woodbridge, a great guy. And he's talking about actually something quite amazing when you think about it. Using Braille with the Apple Watch. Try and get your head around that.
Demo. Well, really love it.
I've been looking at the Dot smartwatch, and actually we're going to talk about that with Karina as well in a moment, but the Dot smartwatch is exactly that. It's a Braille smartwatch, which has got the Braille on the clock face. And I've often thought that's a great idea, but I never thought for a minute that you'd be able to use Braille with your smartwatch. I know that on iOS devices and Apple devices, generally accessibility is fairly universal. But I kind of thought, would I use Braille with an Apple Watch? That's the first question, I guess. Is it a gimmick or is it something that's actually functional? I guess that's the question I'm really keen to get answered today from David. You know, is this just nonsense? Is it just a bit of fun? Or does it have some real world use to it? So I'm intrigued at that. But I guess I'm thinking, well, you know, why? You know, what would be my... What would be you, Robin? I mean, I know you're not a Braille user at the moment? I know you're kind of toying with the idea of going back, but I mean, is it something you would want to use? I mean, a separate display with a watch?
We're definitely going to get the answer to whether it's, you know, a viable option and you know, could be really helpful for productivity. And don't forget, of course, a lot of people have a hearing impairment as well as a visual impairment. So
yeah,
this is,
true.
You know, Braille is their primary. The key question, which actually hasn't been answered yet, is will it auto-switch a bit like the audio does, or will do even better with the updates of the OSs?
No.
From one device to the other.
It won't. It'll be terrible. I know it will, because, look, Apple can't even get this right with the audio. I don't care what Apple say. I have not seen any evidence that this is even a useful function. Yes, it is great for those of you who are listening to music on a phone, and then you turn the music off and you maybe pick up your watch and you want to listen to a podcast, or, you know, you lift up your wrist and you want to listen to a podcast or answer a call on your watch. But for voiceover users, it's too tricky, because all of our devices are talking at the same time.
Give it a chance. Wait for the final one to come out before we damn them with
no, it'll be terrible.
Poor job.
It'll be terrible.
So what we will see today is how easy it is to do the initial pairing and, you know, connect that device. So if that's what's required to, you know, move it over to your watch for accessing via Braille, then, you know, you can make up your own mind as to whether that is something that is you know, easy enough to do to make it really useful. But there's no doubt that the support is good.
Okay, well, we're going to get to all that, and we'll hopefully get some time for some news as well. No emails, I don't think, this week, Andy. Sorry.
Oh, boo.
But, you know,
do you know how many pages we've got?
I love how you always tell me in pages. I just find this hilarious that you always tell me in pages how many emails we've got.
I'm going to start referring to them in books soon. We've got 7 volumes of emails, Stephen.
I think
Robert Kirkwood's going to do this in his show at some point. Yeah, we're going to have a talking email show. Yeah,
we'll have to do another one, won't we?
I think we're going to need to do an extra show at some point just to catch up with them, for sure.
It's 9, by the way. 9 pages of emails.
9 clay tablets.
See, it depends the size of the font. If that's in size 24 point, that's just one email, right? So, you know, if it's like 0.16 or something, 0.8.
Let's see what it is in size 24. Right, that's... Oh, it's broken my machine.
Oh, it's broken it.
39 pages in size 24.
Oh, well, that's quite a lot of emails.
Smallest you can see. Okay, anyway, let's carry on.
That's a game. Well, I can tell you, none of them. Right, okay, well, let's bring in Karina, because you two can go and get a rest, go and get a cup of tea, because we're going to talk Braille now with Karina Gregory. Let's discuss the new Mantis Q40 and some of the other Braille devices that have been announced over the past while. Karina, great to have you back on the show.
Hi, Stephen. Hi, everyone.
I know that we get you on to talk about Braille a lot, and I'm really glad about that because, you know, a lot of our listeners are Braille fans, Braille users, and still enjoy reading with the traditional method of reading if you're blind. And I think for a lot of people, the concern around Braille and its future is perhaps going away because we're seeing more and more technology starting to come out. We've seen a couple of new products in the last week or so that are showing us, you know, that technology is really on the side of Braille, and that there are, you know, there really are going to be some amazing developments here over the coming months and years in this space. So I think we're all quite excited about it. The price as well, you know, still a factor in a lot of cases, but you know, the fact is that the technology is there. Braille is always going to be a niche, and that's just the reality of it. I want to talk in particular, though, about the Mantis Q40. This is from Humanware, and it'll be launching in the UK soon, but it's launched this week, last week, I beg your pardon, when we were watching the National Federation of the Blind Convention, the American Printing House for the Blind, and Humanware both jointly launched this product. It is a 40-cell Braille display with a QWERTY keyboard instead of the standard 6 or 8-dot Braille keyboard input. What's your take on the Mantis Q40 and that kind of device? Because it is one of the first we've actually seen in this space.
Personally, I think the QWERTY keyboard is a great addition. And I think it will speed people up quite significantly. I'm quite a fast typist myself, so I actually find that Braille input can be a bit slower.
And you say so fast type, you're talking touch typing with a QWERTY keyboard, you're quite fast at that, right?
Yeah. I actually think that for people who are quite adept at using QWERTY keyboards, it will be fantastic for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting idea. It's almost, we've seen similar versions of this, not this specifically, and we'll get into the weeds on it in a sec, but, you know, there aren't many products like this out there. Oftentimes, Braille displays are Braille keyboards with those eight keys, the six-dot Braille plus the two extra keys, one for return, one for backspace, and, of course, a number of other functions as well. This one, though, focusing purely on QWERTY key input, you do have the ability to type in six-dot if you want to, but you can, of course, just type in QWERTY. I think it's a really interesting idea, and I wonder from your point of view, as someone who does use Braille regularly, when you're using a Braille display with your computer, are you actually using that Braille input, or you say you're faster typing in the QWERTY, so you're kind of jumping between the QWERTY keyboard and your Braille display and sort of missing out the keyboard bit in between?
Yes, definitely. So I always use a QWERTY keyboard when I can, just because I find it quicker. Unfortunately, the Braille displays that I have used in the past and currently use are able to keep up. So, yeah, I think I would find Braille input quite slow and quite laborious.
I did find this. I must admit, I'm kind of, in a way, I'm really glad you said that, because I kind of felt I was alone on that one, thinking I'm just really slow at this. But actually typing on an actual keyboard made all the difference. And it's interesting because I did get a chance to play with the Mantis Q40. I got my hands on one for a week, courtesy of Humanware in the UK, who very kindly sent me one out to try. And what my experience of it was a really good keyboard, spongy keys, not quite as firm as I'd like, but, you know, good keys nonetheless, excellent Braille from Humanware. Not quite the signage quality you would get, say, in an Orbit device, but then I don't know how you feel about that. I guess it's very much up to the individual user, but I kind of like the more spongy Braille you get off Humanware and Focus devices. Is that where you are?
Yes, definitely. I think if you're using Braille for a long period of time, I think the sharper dots can actually hurt your fingers after a time.
Yeah, definitely.
So spongy Braille is a lot nicer to read.
Now, people will be listening to this and saying, well, hang on, there have been QWERTY keyboards with Braille displays before. I mean, we've had the HIMS QWERTY keyboard, it wasn't the QWERTY U2, I don't think it was called that, but there was a similar type of piece of kit, but that was only a note taker from my understanding. That wasn't a display that could connect to your PC, your smartphone, your other devices. This can connect to multiple devices, and that's one aspect of this which I found really useful, is that I was able to connect the Mantis Q40 to my phone, and then through the inbuilt menu system on the Q40, be able to navigate to connect to my PC, so I could switch devices in, quite easily. I mean, not maybe as easily as I would have liked. I kind of would have maybe liked a key shortcut, and maybe that's something that will be developed. But, you know, you'd have to go into the menu system on the Q40 to do that, and that, of course, comes up on the Braille display. But, you know, you can switch between devices, and that I really appealed to me. I mean, is that something you would use?
Yes, definitely. And I think the advantage as well, with the big advantage of having, from what I've read about it, it's a Bluetooth device as well, so you don't need hundreds of cables to connect a keyboard and then a Braille display to the computer. You can just connect it either by Bluetooth or by a cable if you choose, but you've only got one cable to connect it with. So in terms of space, it's going to save a massive amount of space.
And it's a laptop style keyboard that it comes with. Does that bother you? Would you have preferred it to be a more full-size keyboard with the number pad?
I think a laptop keyboard is just the right size. I think a normal standard keyboard would make it too big and cumbersome. So yeah. A laptop keyboard, I think they've got it just right with that.
Yeah, I must admit, I do like having the number pad. The problem is we always want something extra, don't we? If I had a number pad, then we'd be like, oh, we want more things, and I want more switches, more buttons, and because we do, keyboards are so. I mean, it's interesting. I just got myself a new keyboard for my Mac called the MX Keys for Mac. It's just been launched from Logitech, and it's a brilliant keyboard because it's a full size keyboard. It's got the row of the number pad. It's also got the packet of six keys in the middle, for home, for end, for delete and all that, but it's also got the ability to jump between different devices as well, thanks to three shortcut keys at the top of the packet of six keys, as I call them, just in the sort of right hand side or middle side of the keyboard. And that is something that I think would have been great to add on to this device, but maybe that will come later through the form of an update, because that's the thing. Of course, this will be updated. The firmware will be updated. You've been looking into the Mantis Q40 and some of the features that it has. You found that the clock was rather amusing.
Yes. Yeah, I think it was just the way that it was worded. Looking down the list of features, it clearly stated that there is a clock to tell you the time.
Wow.
And it was just the way that it was worded. It was like, what a revelation.
I know, who'd have thought, eh?
I know. And a book reader to read books.
No way.
Yeah.
As opposed to what?
It was a right education.
And it does, but it does, and that's the interesting thing. So, as well as being a display which connects to your device, so you could operate your iPhone, you could operate your PC, your Mac, multiple devices, not at the same time, but separately, you can switch between them. You can also use it on its own. It is a standalone note taker. Does that appeal? Because that certainly appeals to me as, thinking
yes,
about meetings.
Definitely.
And, yeah.
The only thing it didn't say was what sort of standard of notes you could do. So whether it would be Word notes or, whether you could create a Word document or whether it would be a simple text file. It didn't kind of say that in the promotional material, but the fact that you can use it to write notes, hopefully plug it into a computer and just upload it or do what you need to do with it, that would be fantastic.
My understanding is it is basic text files that it creates, so you're not going to be able to create a Word document. I'd almost say it's a bit like the scratch pad on the Focus Braille displays. It's a little bit like that. You're just getting basic text files down, and I guess for meetings and for notes it's good. Those are all saved to an SD card that you would have installed, that you'd have to have that in order to make that function possible, and then of course you can just take that SD card out and put that into your computer, or as you say, you can plug it in directly and you could do file transfer that way. Probably easier to just plug the SD card in, to be honest. But yeah, that's certainly an option. And I think that it is a really interesting device because, and a lot of people have said to me, why are you so excited about this particular Braille display? But I'm intrigued by the fact that it's got the QWERTY keyboard. That I think is great. And I guess my question to you is, do you think we're at a stage, or do you think, because you've been using Braille for a long time, I'm still wet behind the ears with this, and I wonder, is it wise to be in a position where you're not typing Braille, as in you're not typing with the six keys, like the Perkins-style keyboard? Or is it good to, as long as you can read Braille and you can get your speed up with Braille, it's okay to use QWERTY?
I would say it's definitely okay to use QWERTY because QWERTY is a skill that people, and particularly employers, want people to have. And the other thing about that as well is that when I was taking notes for meetings, the translation often wouldn't be right. So I would then have to go back and figure out what it was I actually meant to write before then sort of incorporate it into my work. So I think using the QWERTY keyboard is definitely a good idea. And as I say, it's a skill that employers want. It's a skill that students can be taught at the same time as other students. It's just a basic skill that people need. So the fact that they've incorporated it into something that you can then read in a way that of your choosing, it's brilliant.
Now, there's one other aspect to the Mantis Q40 I want to get your take on. It doesn't have any audio output, only Braille output. How do you feel about that?
Personally, I don't have a problem with that because a Braille device is there to be used for Braille. So personally, I really don't have a problem with it. If I needed to record something, then I would probably either use a phone or some other sort of recording device. But I don't see it being a big barrier, to be perfectly honest.
Bearing in mind as well that you would get audio feedback from your computer or from your phone, either wearing a headset or out loud from a speaker, if you were using the device anyway, the only time you're not going to get any feedback at all is when you're using the device in standalone mode. That's where you won't get any audio feedback at all. You won't have the option for it. So that doesn't bother you?
No, not really. No, I can't really see it being a barrier. I mean, people are ways of recording things at the moment if they need to record things audibly. So, it wouldn't be a concern of mine at all.
I also want to get your thoughts on some other products that have been out. Some have been out for a while, like, for example, the Dot smartwatch that very few people are talking about. I don't know why, because I think this is an incredible device. Have you heard of it, the Dot smartwatch?
I've heard of it, yes. Yeah, I've heard of it. I think from what I've read about it, I think one of the main complaints is the size of it.
The Braille display is too small.
It's quite big.
Oh, no, I see. Oh, big. Right. Right, it's too big. Wow, okay.
That's based from what I've picked up from comments that I've read.
Because the whole selling point, obviously it has to have a Braille display of some kind. I can't remember the number of cells it has. I want to say 6, but I don't know if it's as many as that. But it's got quite a small display on it. And it might only be 4, actually, now I think about it. But, it's got all that on the clock face. And, you read your time off that. You can read text messages. You can read tweets. Basically any notification that comes through your phone will go through the device. And if someone's calling you, you would know who it is. I think that's quite an interesting device. But, it is interesting. I'm not hearing that many people talk about it. I wondered why. And I wondered if you had a view on that.
I think, personally, I wouldn't go for one. I think if I needed to get information off my phone, I would use, or any notifications, I would use a normal Braille display and have it connected and keep it separate.
Okay.
Or connect it when I needed to. I don't know. I just wonder how aesthetically pleasing it looks as well.
Yeah, well, that's interesting you bring that up, isn't it? Because a lot of us, as blind people, we still care about how things look. The idea that you're blind and you don't care how you look is ridiculous. But that is, unfortunately, a myth that people do have about us as blind people. Nobody cares what they look like. And the amount of women that I'm sure get asked the question, why do you bother with makeup if you're blind? Or, if you're a guy, why are you buying a fancy shirt? You can't see it. But it doesn't make any difference. You still want to be able to look good and feel good, don't you? So, exactly. Products matter in that regard. Okay,
exactly.
Well, that same company have just brought out, again, I haven't seen any fanfare on this at all, but because I have you here, I want to ask you this. There's a product they've just brought out called the Dot Mini. Now, this is essentially a very small reading device, and I would say it's probably no bigger than the size of what used to be the old Daisy players. I think of the old Plex Talk Daisy player. It's about that size. So just a little bit bigger than a CD cover. And you've got this device with a very small Braille display on it of, it seems, around about 13 or 12 cells. You can read on this. You can play audio on it. You can listen to music. You can record on it as well. It's got a built-in recorder. So if you want to record, I guess, for students, this would be great for lectures, or if you want to record a meeting or an interview, it could be good for that as well. Again, these products are there, but we're not hearing that much about them. I guess this is why we talk about them. But it's interesting to see Braille develop in this way. Does that kind of thing appeal to you?
Yeah, possibly. But I think it's also important to get the balance right as well, because if you have a braille display that's too small, you're quite restricted as to how much information you can get at any one point. So maybe for the watch, the 6.1 you might get away with it, because you might just want to know the time, so that would be fine. But for who's calling, you might have to do the cells along three times to get the person's name. Or
yeah, if Philomena calls you, you've got a problem. Yeah, because
exactly.
But isn't it good though?
You might just have to fall out with Philomena just for that reason.
I mean. It's interesting to see all this technology develop, isn't it? And to see that you know, people are coming up with these ideas. It is difficult though for companies, because this is such a niche area. So there's only so much you can innovate, because there's obviously cost associated with innovation, and you've got to get buy-in from people. And if people aren't buying it, then, well, you're not going to get any further with it. That's a problem for us, isn't it?
Exactly. And I think that's where part of the challenge comes in for blind people, is that there seems to be an awful lot of braille displays and braille devices out there that seem to do pretty much the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for somebody to make a decision about which way to go or which route to take, it's incredibly difficult, because you're just bombarded with information about 10 products, say, that all do the same thing but very slightly differently. So I think it is a really hard choice to make, and I think people really need to think about what they want out of the product, as well as the budget that they have to use to purchase it.
Where are you at the moment with braille displays? What would you say, from your experience, from handling devices, from using devices, what would you say is the braille display of choice for you? I mean, obviously everyone's different, so you know, we can only take your view on it. As you say, it depends on budget and everything else. But you know, what would you say is the best at the moment?
I have had a braille display for the past 3 years, three years. And unfortunately, they're not made anymore, but it really is the best braille display I have seen. And it was actually introduced to me at a Tech A Break event that's run by the Technology Association of Visually Impaired People. And it's a very small, well, I say very small, it's a very compact braille display, and it's called a Vario Ultra. And I absolutely love it. Again, with that, it's a braille input keyboard. It's got 40 braille cells. And you can do all the standard things. You can create Word documents, very basic Word documents, but all the same Word documents. PDF files, you can read those. There's a calculator on it, so you can use that. There's a PowerPoint presentation thing that you can use on it to read presentation. It's absolutely fantastic. So that's in terms of my main braille display. But I'm still also using, I've got a Smart Beetle. I don't know if you remember those.
I do remember them, yeah.
I think they still exist.
You can still buy them.
That's a nice little machine. And again, that can connect to a number of different devices as well.
That reminds me a little bit of the Brilliant 14 from Humanware, a little bit like the Orbit Reader 20 as well, although obviously the cell size is different, cell amounts are different. But similar kind of size, isn't it?
Yeah. And then I also, for sort of voluntary work and things like that, there's also the Mini Seeker that I purchased a few years ago. I don't know if they're still in circulation. And that's more of a basic device. But it does the job for me, for what I need it to do.
You know, what's interesting about everything you're saying there is that what comes out of that is that the Braille displays you buy, and of course we could talk about cost, and we've done this a lot on the show, but if you sort of park that conversation about cost, one thing you can realise very quickly is that these products do last a long time. They don't last for a few years and then die off and you've got to go and buy another one. I mean, you've been using these products for a while. Some of those products have been out for years.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I'm not one of these people that sees something new and goes, oh, I must go and buy that because it does something that one of these don't do. Because generally there is a workaround for it.
It's generally very interesting. Very interesting. I really appreciate you coming on and giving us your thoughts, Karina. Really, really appreciate your time. And we get you back on here soon. And we'll maybe hopefully get Robin interested in getting back to his Braille skills. I keep trying with him, but he just won't listen.
How are you doing with your Braille, Stephen?
Do you know, I'm getting okay, and it's interesting. I'm enjoying reading, and I'm doing okay at reading. I'm getting a bit faster at reading, but the typing is slow. And this is where I guess I got rather excited about and that's why I got excited about the Mantis Q40, because I felt that I could almost park the writing part, just focus on the reading part, and still get, you know, still get input and output. Because I think, well, what would I need to type for? As long as I can read it. But of course, I understand that there has to be there is a connection there in the learning process. You need to understand both. But I think, truthfully, if I'm honest with myself, I would read Braille and I would use a QWERTY keyboard for input. And that would be how I'd probably work full time with Braille. I don't know if that's right or wrong. You're giving me a bit of confidence with what you said today. I think that's closer to where I probably should be. And I feel okay about that because, you know, I guess I expect all these Braille experts to come at me and say, no, you must be typing with Braille. You must be typing with a Perkins-style keyboard. You must be doing it that way. But I'm not getting that feeling from you.
No. When I was in full-time employment, I very much used Braille as a point of reference. So if I was on the phone and needed to check that I'd written something correctly, I would then refer to the Braille display. If I was out on visits, I would write in Braille because that was the means that was available to me. But hearing about this Mantis Q40, it's a definite one on the Access to Work list.
Yeah, definitely. Just definitely. Well, especially with the price being around $2,500, it's not the cheapest product in the world, but it is an interesting one. And like you said, these products do last a long time. And, you know, because this has been built for the educational environment as well, but this will thrive, and of course for the work environment, it's built to last. You know, it's a bit like I always say, if you want a really good laptop, buy a business laptop, because they're built to hang around for a long time. You know, they're used to being dropped and, you know, kicked off a desk or whatever else. That's absolutely fine. So, you know, it's important that we realise that yes, you're spending a lot of money, but you're getting a solid piece of kit as well. Karina, great to have you on. Thank you so much for being on Tech Talk this week.
It's been great to be back, Stephen.
Now, at this point, I would play news from the internet, and then you get, like, sound of a modem and stuff. Well, just imagine that happened, because I can't find it. I've put it somewhere. I don't know where it is. It's just a typical blind issue right here. It's lying around here somewhere, but I can't find it.
Oh, everything's going downhill.
Yeah.
When did you notice, Robin?
It was gradual. It's like the Chinese water tunnel.
I was thinking Titanic, yeah. It's just like, yeah, yeah. I noticed my glass slid off the table and I thought, is there a problem?
Let's keep playing to the end.
Exactly, yeah. Let's keep going.
Is your feet getting wet now?
Yeah, yeah. I think we're definitely, it's above my head, that's for sure. Right, let's talk about the news and get a look at some stories that have been affecting people. There was a big story last week about Microsoft Outlook that had me a bit concerned because apparently Microsoft pushed out an update that was causing a lot of issues for people where Outlook would just crash constantly. That's useful, isn't it? And it was causing a lot of people having a laugh with it, saying, oh, Microsoft have just given everyone a day off. Because Microsoft won't open, or Outlook won't open, so you know everyone can just take the day off until they figure this out. Thankfully, I think within 24 hours there was an update pushed. So if you haven't updated yet, if you've not been updating your computer regularly, or it's not set to auto-update, you'll probably find a couple of updates will need to come through for that to take effect. I'd imagine, Robin, they would probably delete the original update, wouldn't they? And then they wouldn't push that through anymore. It would just be the fixed update that would be pushed.
Yeah,
with whatever changes they were making. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. And don't forget that Office updates on a completely different schedule to Windows, for example.
Mm.
So, yeah, it sort of changes all the time, which is a bit disconcerting sometimes. So, yeah, big boob.
Yeah. Let's talk about Twitter, though. The big story last week about Twitter, Andy, that got everyone knickers in a twist over that one.
Yeah, there was a major security breach, they described it. This was last Wednesday. So hackers were taking control of accounts of some rather large public figures. You know, people with tens of millions of followers. We're talking Joe Biden, Barack Obama, Elon Musk, Bill Gates, even the Apple Twitter account.
Oh, right, because I was thinking my account seemed fine. I was just concerned. Right, so it wasn't affecting me then. Right, that's fine.
So it went on for about 6 hours. They confirmed the breach after about 6 hours. Well, the tweets involved people saying, or supposedly saying, that they were giving back to the community in they were sending a Bitcoin address. And they said, if anybody sends £1,000 to this, we'll send back 2,000. Or, you know, if you send whatever, we're only doing this for 30 minutes. So in the process of stopping this, Twitter decided to stop all verified accounts from tweeting anything, which is apparently rather unprecedented. They'd never gone as far as to say, we're going to stop everyone with a blue tick to stop tweeting completely. But they've managed to restore most of the accounts by Wednesday evening, they said. But it may not be the end of it.
I actually really do like Twitter. I think of all the social networks, it's my favourite. And I think it's because it's the only one I can really figure out, thanks to something that Robin told me about. We need to do a feature on this, Robin, because honestly, it's. I think we mentioned it last week, at TW Blue, which, you know, just quickly, I'll say this, I think it is a brilliant piece of software that if you're blind or partially sighted, you got to download this. It's free. Exactly. It's free. It's my favourite price. You can get that. And it'll let you access Twitter. I mean, it's very simple in its usage.
Incredibly powerful, incredibly powerful.
Oh, yeah.
So, absolutely, you can have multiple accounts. You can follow lists of people. You can follow individuals. You can follow topics, you know, search criteria. It's incredibly easy to interact with those tweets in, you know, all the ways that Twitter offers, all from the keyboard. In fact, they're kind of global keystrokes. So if you're in Notepad, for example, typing away and you think, oh, I'll just check my mentions or something, you don't even need to leave Notepad. You can just use the keystrokes that switch to the right column. It's all about columns and, you know, moving up and down columns. And if you want to respond or whatever, do a particular hotkey. Fantastic. TW Blue, two words.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I think your brain is clearly better than mine. I mean, I don't think that. I know that. Because you tried to go through this with me and I could not get my head around this, having these two programs essentially running side by side at the same time, being able to be used by different commands, which, of course, you have to learn all these commands as well. You know, so if your brain maybe runs a little bit slower, like mine does, then you might find that that's more of a challenge, where you can just, you know, alt-tab in and out of it. That's also an option.
Absolutely, but I'll tell you, though, if you don't hide it, so there is a keystroke, Control Windows W, for hiding the UI of the actual, you know, the actual application itself, your computer will get a bit of a system hit. So if you've constantly got it open, I find that it does slow things down a little bit, but that hotkey can bring the program from, you know, being completely minimized and kind of not using up a lot of processor to being right in front of you instantly. So, yeah, rather than kind of keeping it in the alt-tab order potentially, I would do that. And when it's minimised, you know, like I say, the global keystrokes still work.
Do you use that, Andy? Do you use TW Blue?
No, the initial confusion was back before, back before Twitter really took off, you're talking like 2008, 2009, there was a client that sounded an awful lot like TW Blue. But you, Robin confirmed to me a couple of weeks ago that this is actually more on the accessible side of things. This is specifically for a target audience, isn't it?
It may be nothing to look at.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know what it looks like. I mean, it might be brilliant for you. I don't know. I have no idea what it looks like, though. I mean, especially if you can hide it, then it's invisible, which is even more impressive.
It was definitely meant for screen reader users.
Right.
Ah, well, there you go. Yeah, the two that I use predominantly are TweetDeck and Hootsuite, which sound very strange to say out loud. Hootsuite, TweetDeck. But yeah, those are the two, mainly because I can schedule tweets.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that come out of our accounts, so yeah.
Can you schedule tweets on TW Blue?
No, not that I know of. Now, the precursor to TW Blue, which looks spookily similar, I can only think that there's some sort of open source code out there that TW Blue and Chicken Nugget both took advantage of, that does have a schedule button, and it uses buffer.io to do that.
Ah, right, okay.
Yeah, so actually when I do want to schedule a tweet, which I do every day with Dot to Dot, I make it around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, even though I put it out a lot earlier, so that America can more likely to see the tweet when they're awake.
Hungry for fame.
I have to open up Chicken Nugget to do that. But yeah, no.
Can you still get that to work? I cannot get Chicken Nugget to work no matter how I try. In fact, I thought that TW Blue was a replacement for Chicken Nugget.
I think it is, because yes, it doesn't work if you install it on a new machine. It's still working on the one that I've had it on for several years now. But yeah, my new work laptop doesn't install. No.
Okay. Can we talk about Zoom for a minute? Because there was a story that came out last week that kind of confused me. You know, what Zoom seems to have done here is they've developed something called a computer, and they're selling it for a lot of money. Zoom for Home is what it's called. You heard about this?
I think this is a good idea, actually. So yeah.
It's a hardware bundle. The idea is for those who are at home, who are going to be working from home for a long time, maybe even forever, can still use Zoom. I'm of the mind to say this is just, like I say, you're just buying another computer. Although it's not a computer, because all it does is Zoom calls. It's a 27-inch touchscreen device. Immediately the alarm bells are ringing. So it's a cross between a monitor and a tablet, and it comes with this Zoom software pre-installed. And the idea is that it's supposed to simplify the whole experience. You just, you know, touch the screen and respond, get online. You can apparently use it with a pen as well. It's like a whiteboard thing you can use, a tool with online collaboration stuff. I think you can use a mouse and a keyboard with it if you want as well, although I'm not entirely sure on that. I don't know anything about accessibility. We're going to get in touch with the company and try and find out, because that would be a concern. But of course, this is all because the popularity of Zoom has just gone through the roof, hasn't it? I mean, it's just been skyrocketing since coronavirus, and especially since those lockdown measures were introduced, because everybody then started using it in order to keep in touch with each other through employees, even friends, getting together, social groups starting. So you can see the benefits of this, but I don't know how accessible it will be.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big question. But as far as having a dedicated screen for it, I can see some benefits to that because, you know, unlike us, whether it's a video call or someone screen sharing stuff, we don't care about that sort of thing. So we can switch to another program and be working away or, you know, referring to our notes quite happily, and we don't miss the action. But for other people, you know, unless they've got a really big screen and they want to do lots of split screen, you know, cleverness, then to have a dedicated screen just for seeing what's going on in the conference, seeing people's faces, seeing the screen shared content, that sort of thing, I can see it would be good. £500. So is that good for a 27-inch touchscreen that's got limited?
Well, $599. So is that £500? Is that what it's
Well, no, you're right. It'll probably be $599 for pound. But yeah, is that? I mean, it's not $1,500 or anything, so.
Well, yeah, there's that. But in terms of operating systems, because I did look into this, it runs off DTEN. I don't know what that is. But
I think it's a Linux variant. Yeah.
Right, okay. So it's running off DTEN. It's not running off Windows. Not running off Mac. A variant of Linux, then, is what it's going to be running off. So question marks obviously abound over how that's going to work.
I don't think
for accessibility.
It's for us necessarily, no, but it's not. Good to it's know
shame,
about.
And actually, it's a shame.
Three HD cameras and 8 microphones. Why would you need 8 microphones? Where are they coming into it?
Well, obviously, they put all this together, don't they? So they take the sound and then they do something with it that makes it amazing. I don't know.
Right. Surround sound in your Zoom meetings.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's got acoustic echo cancellation, automatic gain control, ultrasonic pairing. Which uses or says it's similar to Bluetooth, and this is so you can do, you can connect your device for screen sharing, which sounds incredible.
I mean, you can scan your baby if you're pregnant as well.
What?
With your ultrasonic.
Oh, I see. Right. I was like, well, hang on. What is it? Are we doing that in Zoom meetings
see
as well?
Your baby coming up on the screen.
Sorry.
Nah, I think I'll leave it. But interesting device, that's for sure. Right, look, let's talk about Braille again, because we've been talking about Braille with Karina Gregory earlier. Let's get back to that topic. And this time around, we're going to talk about Braille on the Apple Watch. Yes, you can get Braille out of your Apple Watch because of the new Watch OS 7 software that's coming out in September. And with a demonstration of that and how he uses it and how he will intend to use it, he is David Woodbridge from the popular IC podcast and also the Talking Tech podcast from Vision Australia.
Hi, and welcome to this Watch OS 7 beta, and this is beta 1 as I'm doing this recording. And the reason why I'm doing this podcast today, and I don't normally do beta demos, at least not most of the time, is the fact that we've got a brand new exciting feature on the Apple Watch, and I'm currently using this on my Apple Watch Series 3, and that is refreshable braille support for your Apple Watch. And yes, you can use it both for navigation and keyboard input, but I thought in this initial demo, since this is the initial beta, I thought I'd just give you a bit of a taster of what it's like to use a braille display with the Apple Watch, and also to where you select it to turn it on, because it's not via the Watch app, it's via the voice over screen in within settings on your Apple Watch itself. All right, so first of all, what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to put my Apple Watch on my wrist because I've currently got it off at the moment.
11:09 a.m.
So there we go. That's it speaking. And by the way, that speech off the Apple Watch is going through my TP-Link music Bluetooth transmitter. So that's why the sound sounds a bit clearer. All right, it's on. So I'm going to turn on my refreshable braille display here by holding down the on button. And you can probably tell by that sound that I actually am using an Orbit Reader 20. All right, so I'm going to put myself in Bluetooth remote mode, which I am now. I'm going to wake up my Apple Watch by pressing the digital crown.
11:12 a.m.
I'm at the Apple Watch face. It says 11:12 a.m. on the braille display plus speech. So I press my right arrow.
Thursday, the 25th of June.
Thursday the 25th of June is also on my braille display.
Next event, 4:15.
Next event is 4:15. That's also on the braille display.
Moving, 10%. Exercising, 0%. Standing, 8%.
Okay, now because that didn't all fit on the screen on the refreshable braille display, because it's only 20 cells, I've got moving, 10%. Then I'm going to press my panning button to the right. Exercising, 0.0. Me being very lazy. Panning again to the right. Standing at 8%.
Sunny.
And if I press the panning button again, it's going to go to the next item on the screen, which is just the weather, and it just currently says sunny. I can do space 1, 2, 3 to jump to the top.
Thursday, the 25th of June.
And there's the current date. And if I jump down the bottom with space 4, 5, and 6.
Sunny.
Down the bottom. And if I want to go in to an item, so let me just press my left arrow on my orbit.
Moving, 10%. Exercising, 0%. Standing, 8%.
Okay, and let's press select.
Moving. 11:14 a.m.
Okay, so it's 11:14 a.m.
0 minutes.
And here we go. So 5:30 a.m. is 0 minutes. Now, if I want to go, don't want to go through that, and I'm going to get down to my steps for the day, which is very minimal at the moment because I've only just put my Apple Watch on. I'm going to do find, which is space and dots 1, 2, and 4 for F.
Enter search text.
And I've got enter search text on the braille display. I'm going to type in step.
S T E.
And that was me using the orbit and pressing enter, which in this case is called E or space E. 1, 5.
Total steps, 104.
And there we go. So on the braille display, I've got total steps, and I'm going to pan to the right, 104.
Total distance, 75
and if I
meters.
Panning, which I've just done now, total distance, that's on the braille display line, pan next, 75 meters. Absolutely amazing amount of exercise I've done today. All right, and I'm going to go back to my home screen with the home button command, which is space and H.
Watch face.
So I'm back to the watch face, and actually says watch face on the actual display, and now it's gone off because that was just a message. If I press my right arrow.
Thursday, the 25th of June.
I brought myself back in focus. Let's use the actions menu on the voiceover radar. I'm going to press my up arrow on my orbit.
Enable auto speak.
There's enable auto speak.
Customize watch face.
Customize watch face.
Notification center.
Notification center.
Control center.
Control center.
Activate. Default.
Back to activate. So I'm going to press my up arrow again.
Enable auto speak.
And
customize watch
face.
Notification center.
Control center. I'm pressing select.
Control center. Connected over iPhone.
And
image.
Here we go. Connected over iPhone.
Location tracking on.
Location image. Tracking on. Now, at the moment, I've got this in computer braille or uncontracted braille. So I'm going to press space and G. I'll call in G.
Braille output, 8 dot.
1245. That's braille output, 8 dot. Space and G again.
Braille output, contracted.
Braille output, contracted. That's lovely. Okay. And again, these are messages popping up. So as soon as that goes away, pressing my right arrow.
Location tracking on.
Location
image.
Tracking on.
Mobile data.
Mobile
on.
Data. And this is all coming up on
actions
the braille
available.
Display. You can hear it updating anyway.
Wi-Fi on.
Wi-Fi.
Ping iPhone.
Ping
off.
iPhone. If I press
actions
select
available.
On ping iPhone.
On.
That's my iPhone. Beautiful. So to come back out of Control Center, of course, it's like pressing the digital crown. So I'm going to do space and H.
11:18 a.m. Thursday, the 25th of next event.
Most of the basic braille commands we have come to love on the iPhone in general, or all the other iOS devices, are also on here as well. So if I do space and K, so space 1 and 3.
Starting help. To stop help, perform a four-finger double tap or two-finger
okay.
scrub or press escape on the keyboard.
So if I press space and H.
Dot 1, dot 2, dot 5, spacebar, home.
Okay, so that's home. If I do space and M.
Dot 1, dot 3, dot 4, spacebar, toggle mute.
That's toggle mute. If I do space and B.
Escape, stopping help.
That's my escape key and so on. If I just come back to my Apple Watch myself without using the braille display, because that's what I've been doing all the time, and just
sunny.
Flick.
Moving. Next event. Thursday, 11:20. Thursday.
Just me
Thursday,
moving
the 25th of
with
June.
The actual touchscreen with voiceover. All right, and if I do a two-finger rotate around, of course, for the rotor.
Headings.
Headings.
Volume.
And each of those headings.
Speaking rate.
Is speaking out.
Words.
It's coming up on the braille display. I've just got
characters.
My little figure on it at the moment.
Actions. Headings.
There we go. Beautiful. All right, so that works really, really nicely. And, of course, I can do that in the braille display too. I can do space, dots 5 and 6.
Actions. Characters. Words.
Or space and dots 2 and 3.
Characters. Actions. Headings. Volume. Speaking rate.
Okay, which is actually pretty handy. And, of course, when I'm on that speaking rate, I can press up arrow.
65%. 60%. 55%. 65%.
That's just me playing with the speech rate just then. So that works really nicely. I'm not going to do it in this demo, but you can also, of course, using the braille input keyboard, because I've already been using it already to type in searches. When you go into mail or messages or anywhere else you can type for that matter, you've got the option not only to use voice dictation, but also the braille input keyboard as well. Let me see what happens if I just do Apple Pay. So let me press my side button twice.
In Visa Debit.
Yep. So in the braille display, I've got hold near reader.
In Visa Debit. In Bang. Pass ending in 1475.
Debit, pass ending in and so on. That works really beautifully in the braille display. Beautiful. All right. So space and H.
11:49 a.m.
All right. Let me put my watch to sleep by just putting my hand over it. Okay, and it's really funny because on my braille display now, it actually says end of file. So I don't know why it says that. All right, so now let me just see how long it takes for it to wake up the braille display. So I'm going to press my digital crown.
11:50 a.m.
So 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, and there we go. I've now got 11:50 a.m. on the refreshable braille display. I mean, this is absolutely amazing when you're considering you're using a smartwatch. With your braille display, in this case, the Orbit Reader 20. Absolutely amazing. I've been so much enjoying using the braille display on the Apple Watch that I just thought, as soon as I saw it yesterday, when I downloaded and installed the beta, I just had to share it with you folks. But anyway, that will do me for the moment. And as I say in all my other demos, thanks for listening and bye for now.
Always interesting to hear from David Woodbridge and his demonstrations. That one, very interesting. You know, I went into this thinking it's going to be a gimmick, Robin, but it doesn't seem like that's the case at all.
No, and, you know, we'll know that the watch puts itself to sleep quite a lot, but I don't think this is going to be a problem here. If you're typing away on your Braille display, driving the voice, the screen reader, I don't think it matters that your, you know, watch isn't kind of up and in the position that keeps it awake, because, you know, we all know that as soon as you put your arm down again, it goes to sleep. I think it's 70 seconds is the default wake period, yeah, unless you put your arm down. But I don't think it matters that your watch is at a funny angle, you know, just as you're driving your Braille display, whatever that might be. I think it's really good. This is definitely not like a 1.0 implementation. I think this is really viable. Yeah. So, yeah, good
demo.
That's
good. Look, we're nearly out of time. Just a quick word. You, of course, this hour have also been speaking to Jenny LaFleur from Microsoft as well. Yeah, absolutely. You're a very busy guy. Tell us about that, and for people who want to hear that conversation that you did for AbilityNet.
Yeah, so that's obviously pre-recorded as well, because 1 o'clock would be silly o'clock for her over in Seattle. She had a nice cup of tea, but I said, you know, why isn't it coffee? Because that's the home of Starbucks over there in Seattle.
Because she's English, that's why.
That's true. No, in fact, that's exactly what she said. Yeah. So if you want that kind of insults and other quality banter, then, you know, go and, oh, and some stuff about what Microsoft are doing in the area of accessibility, then, yeah, check out that. It's video, which actually means that the sound quality isn't quite as good as if it was audio only. I need to kind of sort something out there. But we both had the same, you know, we're both using our built-in microphones, but it's very clear. It's just not like this. But abilitynet.org.uk/insights-Microsoft.
Brilliant. Okay, and just a note as well, program note for next week. Andy's been here all this hour and hasn't been able to read one email because we haven't had time for any. So
it's going to be giant by the end of it. It's going to be put into like a War and Peace style book by the end.
Yeah, I think everyone's on bated breath as to see how many pages it is next week. Yeah, we're also excited
make
to know.
Make it 4 point.
Yeah, that's right. This is a 4 point print. How many pages is it? That's the update. Every week we pick a font size and we decide.
One of the emails, I'll say this very quickly, one of the emails has a title, Where's My Son? So I'm interested to read more on that.
Are we talking sun as in big yellow thing in the sky or child?
Nah, keep them guessing.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. We're agog.
Because I have to say, if it was the other, obviously that would be quite worrying. Okay. Well, look, that's it from us. We'll be back again next week at the same time. If you do want to get in touch and you do want to drop us an email on anything you've heard, especially your thoughts around Braille, the QWERTY keyboard, the Mantis Q40, and Braille coming to the smartwatch via WatchOS 7, and being able to pair up with your Braille display, as David was talking about. Very interesting conversations. Share your thoughts with us. techtalk@rnib.org.uk is our email address. We will catch you again next week. Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Stephen. Thanks, guys.
Andy Wynn, the keeper of the email pages. Thank you.
Thank you. Chat to you next week.